You're on mute, Chairman Donaldson.
He's muted.
Sorry about that. Call the meeting to order. I'd like everybody to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, and if Legislator Criswell could lead us in the allegiance and remain standing for a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the
Republic for which it stands,
one nation, under
God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, be seated. All right, Madam Clerk, can you call the first public hearing to order?
I'm going to go ahead and take roll call first. Let's do Archer.
Here.
Bartels.
Here.
Bruno.
Here.
Cahill.
Here.
Corcoran.
Here.
Criswell.
Here.
DeLon. DeLon, I saw. Yep. Okay. Donaldson.
Here.
Fabiano. Gavaris.
Present.
Green.
Here.
Haynes.
Here.
Heppner.
Here.
Litz.
Here.
Lopez.
Here.
Mayo.
Here.
Parody. Petit.
Here.
Roberts. Ronk.
Present.
Uchitel.
Here.
Walter.
Here.
And Waro. All right, so Waro is not here at the moment, so that's 19 present and 4 absent. Tonight's first public hearing is on proposed local law number 8 of 2020, a local law amending the Ulster County Charter and amending the Ulster County Administrative Code to clarify budget modification after adoption. And we currently have no speakers signed up for this public hearing.
Okay, if there's no speakers signed up, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn that public meeting.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Adjourned.
Tonight's second public hearing is on the sale and or transfer of lands owned by Ulster County, located at Golden Hills, City of Kingston, to a local development corporation. On this one, we do have written comment that was submitted and circulated to you that will be considered official record, and that is from a personal comment from a private citizen, Ellen DeFalco, as well as a petition she filed on behalf of 45 residents. Mr. Matt Colangelo also has public comment on file, but he is also here to speak.
Matt?
Yes?
You're on.
All right. So I guess I'm speaking on behalf of the people that filed the petition for the residents on Glen Marius, Green Hill, and in the Boulevard. So we submitted the petition, personally knocked on every single door. These are statements or testaments from the people that are going to be directly impacted. I think we're all in support of the housing. Most of us are anyway. That's not really our gripe. Our gripe is longstanding. The issue regarding egress and ingress into the Golden Hill complex, which houses some of the largest, if not the largest, employers in the city. And they're continuing to use Glen Street, Marius, and Green Hill as the main or one of the main sources of entry. There's multiple instances of complaints that date back to the 1970s. And really what we're asking for is remediation of that as a part of the development. It's long overdue. We believe that it should be done. Glen Street does not meet roadway traffic and safety designs. It would have to be widened. The traffic volume is ridiculous, especially during the day. So shoehorning, I don't know how many apartments you're building. The proposals that you have haven't been released to the public, so we don't know. But we really are asking that you take into consideration those impacts. Otherwise, you know, we will pursue litigation in order to have a court determine what is or isn't reasonable when it comes to the impact. And that's really the crux of our, or at least for me, and most of the residents that I personally spoke with have. Some of the other issues I just want clarity on, I don't know if anybody can answer this, how the debris from the jail will be removed. You know, will Glen Street, Marius, and Greenkill be used as the main artery for that? Because exiting onto Route 32 from Golden Hill Drive is dangerous. So tractor trailers or truckloads full of debris could be a problem. I don't know if there'll be a flagger or some sort of traffic control device. And then just with regards to the development, if there's a way to get the tax incentives discussed prior to, I think that would be great. We're seeing a lot of development occur in Ulster County that kind of put the cart before the horse, if you will. I think any tax breaks or incentives should really be discussed prior to, in particular with housing, any impact to the school district with regards to increased enrollment should really be at the forefront of that discussion. So hopefully, that will be discussed prior to or as part of the development process. Like I said, we're all huge supporters of housing, affordable housing, and making sure everybody has a place to reside. But we certainly hope that it is equitable across all of the taxing jurisdictions. That's pretty much it. I appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Matt.
Mr. Chairman, there were several people that joined late that we did not ask if they wanted to speak. So it's up to you if you want to ask.
Can I try to figure out how to scroll down this? Jay, is there somebody that could actually send a text to say that they want to speak?
They can use the chat feature if they want to, but if they can also unmute themselves and speak.
Did Ellen DeFalco, was she able to get audio? My understanding, she wanted to speak.
Hi, David.
Is that you, Ellen?
Yes, this is Ellen DeFalco. How are you?
Very good. You have the floor, Ellen.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity to address all of you this evening. You probably have my very lengthy statement in your possession, but I did want to just elaborate on the fact that there are other surplus properties in the county that perhaps fit the criteria for affordable mixed income workforce or low income housing. And we, the city of Kingston, we're already saturated with subsidized housing, and we only have 13% of the county's population. And it doesn't seem fair that the former jail parcel should be the first site chosen for housing development. We have our fair share of housing complexes, and I believe that when there are 20 towns and 3 villages in the county, it's time for other communities to be part of the affordable housing equation. I completely understand that the county finances are very shaky right now, and the sale of this property might solve a few of your financial woes, but it's disingenuous, in my opinion, to move on this property right now when residents and stakeholders are not able to participate in these types of conversations online. It's very cumbersome for a lot of people. And we want to be face to face with all of you. And that should be very concerning for you right now. And the fact that this property has sat idle for all of these years, what seems to be the rush? It's also very perplexing when Dennis Doyle, county planner, makes comments at a city laws and rules meeting relative to the intensity of the use of the former jail site. He believes that the traffic is not likely to increase at Golden Hill, and we've been plagued with traffic issues for years. He knows this. He's been provided with numerous volumes of documentation, and some of you might have that documentation as well. And I believe that, and this is my opinion, that this particular property, the former jail on Golden Hill Drive, is not the best fit for affordable housing, and it's not suitable as a solution to meet the affordable housing shortfall when there are other alternatives, and you should be looking at all of them. And thank you for your time, and I look forward to seeing you in person someday.
Thank you, Ellen.
Okay.
Terrence Ward, do you wish to speak, Terrence?
No, I'm just here to report.
Very good. Thank you, Terrence. Does anyone else wish to speak?
Chairman, there is a woman on video who keeps saying she wants to speak and keeps speaking, but she needs to unmute herself. There's nothing we can do about it.
Where is she? Which one?
She's looking for her mute button right now.
Yeah, I don't see her.
Yeah, there's nothing we can do about it. She really is trying, but there we can't undo it.
We did it. Hello?
She just did it. She did it.
There you go.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hello,
we do need to know your name, though, for the record.
Okay, hello. My name is Susan Reef. My property borders the jail, okay? I have a lot of land right there, and I don't think that selling it and developing it to low-income housing is really beneficial to the people in this area. I feel that I already pay astronomical amount of taxes, and I'm opposed to having more low-income housing in this area, which is going to disrupt what we already have. I mean, I get it. There's other places to look for low-income housing. I feel that we're saturated in our area and in Ulster County. And I also feel that it is going to lower my property value by putting that in this area. It's going to make my property value go down and all of my taxes go up. And I just don't feel that it's a good fit for that to happen there. I think that even the traffic volume on 32 from the jail going on to 32, it's an issue. But also bordering my property, can you guarantee that all of that nonsense isn't going to come over onto my property once it's up and going and this low income housing is brought up into this area?
All right. Thank you, Susan.
Okay. So where do we go from here?
As a point of information on public hearings, the legislature cannot speak. They are only allowed to listen.
Okay, so well, I had already planned to come to the meeting and speak and say, you know, what is it exactly that they plan on doing? I mean, you know, who is going to be on these committees that say it's okay? I hope it's not the same kind of committees that were responsible for moving the jail across the street and building the new jail, and it's already crumbling. Like, I'm trying to understand who they're selling to. Is it somebody else that's gonna sell them the land, okay, and then they're gonna keep the maintenance on the land? Or what is actually gonna partake in all this? What's gonna happen to what's already there? They're gonna tear the jail down and throw up condos for low income? I don't know. I have a lot of questions that aren't resolved, and I'm opposed to this whole project taking off when, you know what, I'm one that's directly affected by it.
Alrighty, thank you, Susan Reese. Is there anyone else that would like to speak? Bert Samuelson? Bert, would you like to speak?
No, I'm just listening tonight, because I'm just listening.
Thank you, Bert.
You're welcome.
I'll make a motion we close the public hearing.
All right. It looks like there's no one else that wishes to speak. I'd entertain that motion.
I'll second
by it. By legislator Litz, and seconded by?
Albert Bruno.
Al Bruno. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? None being opposed?
Tonight's third public hearing is on proposed local law number 10 of 2020, a local law amending local law number 10 of 2015, pertaining to change orders and or amendments to contracts equal to or exceeding $50,000. And there are no speakers that we are aware of for this hearing.
Yes. Nobody's yelling out if, alrighty.
I'll make a motion to close the public hearing. There's no speakers.
Second.
Seconded by, made by Bruno, seconded by Litz. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Having none. Public hearing is closed.
And tonight's final public hearing is being conducted as required under Article 25AA of the Agriculture and Markets Law on the addition of lands to agricultural districts to be held. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's the Ag District Annual Inclusion Public Hearing. Okay.
Sure, easy for you to say.
Right. So on this one, we did have a lot of public comments submitted by one of the property owners that their property is being recommended to be included. He is also here with us tonight, although he said he didn't want to speak. I don't know if he does now. That's Joe DeGroote.
Joe, we would like to hear you speak.
Yes, I originally did say I was not going to. But after listening to everybody speak, I figured I might as well take the opportunity. Yes, I do have two lots that are on the list for inclusion into the Ag District. I did respond. I think everybody probably got the letters, emails, to a lot of questions that came up. This has been a farm for over 35 years. There was some question about the inclusion of one of the lots, but that lot, I think I included in the email, is directly on the farm, related to the farm, all about supporting the farm. It has trees, probably upwards of over 1,000 trees on the lot. So, I know there were some questions, and I hope the emails that I sent out ahead of time answers those questions. We did go to a last minute meeting last Thursday that the town held in regards. So I believe at the meeting, We thought we sufficiently answered all of the questions. I did try to get a copy of the minutes to submit, but the minutes are not out yet. The letter that the town did move forward is not exactly what we heard at the meeting. So I'm hoping that eventually the actual minutes will come out and reflect that. So again, I'm not sure, I'm kind of new to this, I'm not sure where it goes from here, but I certainly hope, because I got a farm that's in jeopardy, and you know, we are doing exactly what we were supposed to do to try to sustain the farm. And besides that, the farm, you know, the county did their own research. This land was all ag district all the way dated back to World War II. It just recently went to RAG4. And we were also surrounded by farms. I think that's it. I know this is not a question and answers forum, so I think that's it.
Thank you, Mr. Negro. I appreciate it. Does anyone else wish to speak on the ag farm district?
And we do have the letter that Mr. DeGroote was referencing from the town of Shangum. That is also part of the official record and was also sent to each of you individually.
Very good. Thank you. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion that we adjourn the public hearing.
Seconded by Al Bruno. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
None opposed. It's adjourned. Our next meeting will be held on Tuesday, August 18th at 2020 at 7 p.m. And it will be a virtual meeting. I can have a quick understanding. We went through, I spoke with many of you, and I understand where many people stood. And it was somewhat not really a consensus that the committee meetings continue Zoom, but it was a majority. On the other, it is much more divided, and whether we come back or not, the problem with it is that when I'm looking at the way we're dealing with the COVID and the idea with masks, that means we'd all have to wear masks in this room, and with the mics between us, I think it's going to be a problem if we attempted to try to do a regular meeting. Although I would like to do that, but I think this one will be a virtual meeting on the 18th. And I thank everybody for getting back with me to talk to me about it. And particularly a few people that were very gracious in saying whatever I did was okay. Which is, you don't get that too often. But anyway, thank you, and I'll see you again.
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Having none, we adjourn. Thank you.
Take care.